Let me tell you about BetDSI, who are our partners, our sponsors of this esteemed show that you're listening to. And we're very thankful that they are. Essentially, they're a betting company. You can bet online with them. You can sign up. You can use the app. You can use your computer to do so. The NFL season is obviously over. The college football season is over. Congratulations to LSU and to the Kansas City Chiefs. But basketball is ongoing. The NBA is ongoing. March Madness is just around the corner. You can bet on all of those things with BetDSI. If you use the code YARDS101, that's YARDS101, you'll get a special discount. You get all sorts of stuff. They've got a great mobile interface. All you need to know on BetDSI.com.
Welcome to 3 Yards Per Carry, a podcast covering the Miami Dolphins and the NFL. Now, here's your hosts, Chris, Alf, and Simon.
And we're on, and welcome to another edition of 3 Yards Per Carry. I'm Alfredo Arteaga. Simon Clancy is here. Chris Kaufman is here. And it's watching large men running around in their underwear season. Simon, they measured some of these large men. Anything, poor choice of words to say that anything stick out for you. Anything, and if I said anything pop out to you, that would
Is this about Chris Jones in the 40?
Yeah. I was just going through the numbers now. I mean, some small hands.
I should say then.
I mean, I'm literally just looking at the numbers now. Some small hands, some big arms. I mean, you know, some interesting measurements. We obviously had Tua's numbers, 6 foot, 217. One hand bigger than the other, which was quite interesting. I mean, there's some small humans as well. KJ Hamler. I mean, KJ Hamler is like 5 foot one. And no, he's not that small. 5 foot eight. He's got a 72-inch wingspan. I think my 15-year-old daughter's got a bigger wingspan than that.
He's three apples high.
Yeah, compare that to T. Higgins. So KJ Hamler's 5'8", T. Higgins 6'3", and 5'8", 178 pounds and 216 pounds.
Yeah,
and a wingspan of 72 inches compared to a wingspan of 80. T. Higgins' wingspan is 81 inches, although that does show up on tape as well. So,
you know what's crazy is Chenault, Laviska Chenault, who we both love. Yeah. His measurements came out pretty much exactly like a power back. In like the NFL draft.
Yeah.
He's 6 foot oh, I think, and 5'8" inches.
227.
227 pounds.
Cross not even rugs. His hands. 10 inches. 10 1/8 inches.
And then Chenault's, to be fair, his hands are not. They're like 9-inch hands. So and some people I already had. But you know what? It's funny because we compare a guy to compare a Laviska Chenault to, I think naturally would be somebody like Anquan Boldin or more recently AJ Brown, right?
Yeah.
AJ Brown is exactly that. He's like 6 foot zero, you know, and a half inch, right? And he's 226 pounds. That's what he came out of. So it's almost exactly like Laviska Chenault. But man, Chris, you got to put on that tape and watch him just burn speed corners.
Definitely. Chris, you love a man's hands. People will get really irate about, I'm just looking at Michael Pittman. He's a big boy as well. Crikey. Yeah. People will talk about, Joe Burrow's only got 9-inch hands. Jake Fromm's only got eight inch and 7/8-inch hands. Does the hand size really, truly matter? Because this is the question loads of people message me about. Oh, Tua's only got so-and-so-inch hands. So-and-so's only got, does this matter? He's not going to be able to hold a football, is it? You know, Joe Burrow had a Heisman-rated tweet this evening where he literally tweeted, I'm on the brink of retirement now because I've just realized that the ball's going to fall out of my hands and that kind of thing. But considering retirement, after I was informed the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands, please keep me in your thoughts. I mean, that's a great tweet.
I thought that was wonderful.
Talk to us about hand size because, you know.
Yeah.
Does it really
I think it's interesting. I think that the hand size tends to be called out during the college career because the football, you know, I've heard quarterbacks talking about the going from the college football to the NFL football. And in fact, Chris Sims was, you know, he had Jake Fromm doing a little workout at the Super Bowl and throwing the football around and stuff like that and comparing, you know, where do you hold the laces? What do you do? And Chris Sims and Jake Fromm were both saying it like, you're going to like a NFL football better. Like, you'll find that it just whistles and sings through the air a lot better. And I think,
yeah, and that's real. That's real, by the way. Yeah. Like, if you've ever held a college football and an NFL football, like, I swear to you, for our listeners who've never actually done that test, they feel different. Mm-hmm. Both of them feel completely different. One feels like a balloon, which is the college ball, mm-hmm. and the NFL ball is much sleeker, but a little bit more tactful. Like,
you can get
a better grip on it.
Officially, they're supposed to be about the same, but I don't think anybody that holds them actually feels them and thinks the same.
I think it's all the paint that's on the college ball.
Well, whatever it is, it's the hand size tends to be called out, I think, at the college level, not the NFL level. Mm-hmm. So yeah,
a college ball usually is about 1 to 1.25 inches smaller than an NFL ball. So to get into the weeds, essentially, the circumference of a college ball ranges from around 20 3/4 inches to 21 1/4 inches lengthwise.
I've heard differing on this. I've heard that their median like is exactly the same. I mean, that there's no difference, but I think the feel of it is different. And I think that a lot of people,
the stripes make a difference.
A lot of people describe the college ball as feeling, you know, like Alf said, more like a balloon or something, like harder that way. So I think it affects you more in college when you don't have it. If you get through your college career, bottom line, if you're Jake Fromm, you get through your college career, and you're Joe Burrow, you get through your college career, and you're throwing it, you're spinning it really well, then it's probably not a problem. I mean, Zach Taylor is the head coach of the Cincinnati Bengals. He'll have had Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback coach, and he'll have had Jared Goff as a quarterback coach. Both of them had exactly 9 0-inch hands. So now I'll have Joe Burrow, who's exactly 9 0-inch hands. I mean, it's not – I don't think it's that much of a thing anymore. I think maybe it used to be a thing when the quarterback position, the nature of the quarterback position was different in the NFL back in the 80s, mm-hmm. And the 90s. I think it's a little bit different now. And because of that, I don't see it being that big of a deal. I think I do enjoy, because we've been talking about Jake Fromm's hand size for years, because I think his hand measurements were more or less known coming out of high school, more or less. And nobody knew about Joe Burrow's. So when Joe Burrow's came out, like, virtually the same, identical, I kind of enjoy the cognitive dissonance there. Like, you know, Joe Burrow is still the number one overall pick because his hands were 1/8 of an inch bigger, but Jake Fromm's hands are disqualified because they were short by 1/8 of an inch, which is just absurd on the face of it. I mean, let's face it. This is not a thing. People use this as a disqualifying factor. It's not a disqualifying factor.
It used to be.
You know what it is? It's nice. It's nice when a guy like Jake or Jordan Love has 10.5-inch hands. It's nice. Yeah. It's a nice bonus. It's an add-on. But otherwise, you try to make it disqualifying. It's not disqualifying.
Yeah, and it used to be that if you weren't above 6 feet, that you were disqualified as an NFL quarterback. You actually weren't even looked at in the first 3 or 4 rounds.
Well, I remember it being 6'2". I remember Drew Brees was disqualified because he was 6 feet. Mm-hmm.
That's
a quarter inch above 6 feet.
And that's only really changed in the last 3, 4, 5 years.
Yeah.
Now, I've gone into a complete rabbit hole here when, you know, because I saw this today, okay? Like, you know, I didn't see many of the results of the measurements, but I did see this one, and that was KJ Hamler. And we talked about it at the start of the show. And I found his recruiting press release where the Penn State Nittany Lions said, "We have recruited Bradenton star KJ Hamler. He's a 5'10", 166-pound wide receiver." Now, when they bring him in, he's listed at 5'9", 156 pounds on the IMG Academy website, okay? Then in Penn State, as a freshman, they list him at 5'9", 176 pounds. And then this past year, at 5'9", 170 pounds. So they were just like inching toward this this reveal today of 5'8", 176 pounds. Very quick question for both of you. Is this disqualifying?
I tend to think nothing is disqualifying.
Yeah.
But I mean, okay, so it's not good. No. You don't feel great about it. Especially
it's not terrible.
The higher you go with a guy, the less you're gonna feel good about it, right? Yeah. I mean, nobody felt great about the fact that Kyler Murray was short as hell, right? Mm-hmm. But they're still gonna draft him at number one overall because there's compelling talent. and he got Offensive Rookie of the Year. So I think that was justified. But yeah, so you can't disqualify based on this. If you didn't already know that he was small just by watching the film, then you're not doing your job. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think
but he will have to run and run very well.
Yes. You can't be small and slow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At that position.
If he's small and slow, you know, if you want to use a 6th round pick on him.
Well, I mean, if you're a slot and you're purely a slot and you're tough as hell, maybe, but you're not going to get drafted high that way. You're going to have to prove it.
Can we talk about a rumor that I put in the WhatsApp group earlier on this week about Carolina and the number one pick and reuniting Joe Brady with Joe Burrow? I've just seen a tweet from Pro Football Network from Ben Albright saying there is increasing chatter at the Combine that the Carolina Panthers will make a move up the draft board for the first overall pick. The feeling within some NFL circles is that there is now some legitimacy to this rumor, which would be fascinating, frankly. I mean, that would just blow the entire draft up, wouldn't it?
It would shake it up considerably if you think about what, especially the position Miami is in. Mm. Miami is picking number 5 overall, and we're going to have to wait and see, either wait and see if Tua shakes out down there or go up and try and get him. But imagine if the first thing that happens is the Carolina Panthers give a boatload of picks to Cincinnati Bengals to get to number one overall. And then Carolina takes, of course, Joe Burrow. Now you have a different competitor sitting at number 6 overall, right?
With a load of picks.
Yeah, with a load of fresh picks in their arsenal, right? And now it's like, well, maybe we do have a competitor for that number 3 if they decide they want to move back up and get Tua instead of Joe Burrow. And that's really enters. I mean, and what if they just squeeze you out of it by doing a 3-team trade right away? You know, Miami has to try and insert themselves into that and bust it up. If Carolina
pulls it off, because I have a hard time thinking that they're gonna pull it off without doing something, you know, I guess in a blockbuster, you know, at a blockbuster level.
Oh yeah.
What do you think they could possibly trade? It has to be at least 3 first round picks and a couple of second rounders, right?
At least 3 first round picks. I don't know about a couple of second rounders, but
like they would have to beat the RG3 deal. No?
Yeah.
Yeah, more or less. Yeah, I think so. I think it's fair. I mean, they'd have to have a fire sale. I mean, where it really gets interesting to me is we talked about this last week, I think. They'd have to have a fire sale on that roster, right? Mm-hmm. And totally. And so you're looking at it and you're like, okay, well, you know, maybe we give them a call about Trey Turner, the guard, who's making $8.5 million next year, and you know,
if they're fire sailing, okay, if they're fire selling everything, hell, we have 3 first round picks this year and 2 next year. Give them a call about Christian McCaffrey, if they really are dumping everything.
I think that's one player they're not going to give up on.
Yeah. Well, you never know. I mean, because
it is a running back.
You got to give up. Listen, they can't just manufacture the arsenal that they would need to get that pick out of nowhere. Like, can't just come out of thin air. You got to give up something of value.
Yeah. Ian Rappaport reporting that Tua has no loss of blood flow in his hip and plenty of positivity coming out of his medical evaluations.
Well,
which is good news.
I don't think anybody was thinking really, or they shouldn't have been thinking that he was going to have the loss of blood flow. I think didn't his own doctor say something like, you know, he's got more chance of being mauled by a bear than actually having that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
He did say that. Yeah. Now, let's go right back to Carolina for a second. Where do you think Cam Newton ends up? Because I'm looking around the league. Is there a possibility that this guy's going to be left without a team to play for next year?
No. I think that's
– it's Cam Newton.
Yeah. I mean, so what if Phil Rivers doesn't go to Tampa Bay? Maybe Cam Newton could go there.
What if the Bengals traded him – what if they got traded to the Bengals as part of the Carolina deal?
Sure.
Maybe. That makes sense.
And then I would trade them Josh Rosen to fill out their quarterback position. for a
wouldn't surprise me if Josh Rosen was traded to Green Bay
for a case of Milwaukee's best light.
Yeah, and some cheese curds.
I don't know. They might play hardball in the cheese curds.
To be honest, I'd want the cheese curds.
Yeah, I would. The
cheese curds in Milwaukee are ridiculous. So
from good. The ones from the stadium, from the Green Bay Stadium, are the best ones that I had in the city.
Right. See, the ones that I went to that restaurant that you said you didn't like, although this was my first time having cheese curds, so
okay,
potentially.
Right. Although you had a low bar. You had a low bar.
That's a lie. I was at a bar in Milwaukee the year before, really moody bar, and they were pretty nice in there as well. There's some fucking weird people in there, though.
Wait, so which bar? Because I was there. I was there just before.
Oh, I don't know. It was.
I was in Milwaukee.
Trendy part of Milwaukee, and it was full of fucking weirdos.
There was a really weird bar that I went to there that was sort of like spy oriented, spy themed, and it had all this spy stuff on the wall and a dead room that you had to get through a secret door to get into and stuff like that. They had tremendous cheese curds, by the way. Okay. So I set the bar pretty high out right away.
Nice. Mike Freeman reporting, we talked about earlier in the WhatsApp, but Mike Freeman reporting that the Dolphins, apparently, according to Freeman, says that the Dolphins, an NFC GM tells me the Dolphins are already extremely active in talking with other teams. They're shaping up to be among the biggest factors in this draft. I mean, that's a given. I mean, we've got 58 picks in the first 59 overall. We're obviously going to be a massive factor in this draft. But do we think that this is moving around do you think that we're potentially looking to move up to 18 to secure a falling left tackle? Do you think that we are talking about trades for players? Because we talked about it last week. I don't think there's any way that the Dolphins leave this year's draft with 14 new players, given that they have 14 picks. Yeah. I just don't see that as viable.
It doesn't seem so. The one that feels superfluous really is the 26th pick. And Simon, you and I, I noticed in both of our mocks, we both pegged Laviska Shenault there, even though they don't, receivers the last thing they need. But I mean, he's just such a compelling player.
Yeah.
But seriously, it was like, well, what else am I going to do with this pick? Because it's not going to be, they're probably not going to use it. And
you can see that being used as a potentially turned over for a first rounder next year if somebody's looking, if somebody, if there's a Jacob Eason falling or a,
Yes. Or what I could see happening is if they are lucky enough, and I don't think this will happen, but if they are lucky enough to just sit there at number 5 and take their quarterback, and we know who we want, and they sit in there also with that 26th pick, maybe that 26th pick is worth maybe a Pro Bowl level performer for them somewhere in the NFL that is playing right now. We don't know his name, but it could be worth that instead of just taking a guy at 26 or pawning it off for more picks in 2021.
I think if they're forced to take a player at take a player at 26, it wouldn't surprise me if it was A, DeAndre Swift, who Barry Jackson said this week that the Dolphins are very high on, or B, just a position that the Dolphins love generally, which is a secondary player. And you look for some of those players that they really like. Intelligent, tough tackling, guys that will not miss tackles. And you kind of look at CJ Henderson and you think, this dude misses a lot of tackles, good cornerback, but can he tackle to the level they want? Grant Delpit similarly missed a lot of tackles. But then you flip it over and you look at Antoine Winfield, you look at Ashton Davis, you look at Jeff Gladney, you look at guys like Cameron Dantzler, big, tall, rangy guys, certainly the corners are, big hitters, tough tacklers. And you think, Brian Flores is never going to turn his nose up at a defensive back, given the way that they like to scheme DBs.
And I mentioned it in last podcast. You got to have a little bit of, not a lot, but a little bit of question mark about Xavier Howard at this point from a health standpoint. I mean, I know he has the big contract, but you're like, is he ever really going to be healthy? You got to be wondering that. And if you do wonder that, then one good way to really hedge your bets there is to go ahead and fill the opposite spot in a big way. And
do you think we'll see a scenario where he plays 16 games ever again for the Dolphins?
Yeah, I do. I don't think we're that far gone yet, but it's certainly a question. I mean, they might be easy on him in practices.
Yeah, I think he's going to get one of those, a couple of days off practices just to keep that leg, those knees healthy.
He also didn't strike me as the kind of guy that wanted to play on a team that wasn't actually playing for anything.
Yeah, he didn't play very well even when he was playing last year.
He did not.
He has that thing where it's every fourth game he has a totally crap game. Mm. And that's he needs to get rid of that because he's not being paid for that.
No.
Is it just a coincidence that the year before Tannehill's last year here, when it was essentially known that we were eliminated from the playoffs, that he all of a sudden found an injury? Or is that just a coincidence?
You mean 2 years in a row, you're kind of thinking that that's...
Yeah, that he's looking at the landscape and saying, hey, you know, I thought that that year he was preserving his value for his contract. Then he got his contract. Then he saw, you know, what the team was like, and he was like, you know what?
Well, I think the Dolphins preserved him last year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought so too. But I thought the year before, he was looking at that.
Neymar, the Brazilian footballer, always manages to get himself suspended at the same time that the Rio Carnival is going on. So he plays for Paris. You laugh. It's true. For the last 2 years, he's been suspended. And he got sent off just for a bizarre kind of thing at the weekend. And it just so happens that the time he'll miss is the time of the Rio Carnival. So he's always missing either his own birthday, his sister's birthday, or Rio Carnival. So he just manages to get these random bookings so he can just go home and party. So
it's kind of like it's kind of like Tiger Woods has not played in a tournament in Las Vegas since he had the scandal that took in Las Vegas.
Wonder why?
Yes.
Yeah.
Would you take?
I gotta get your opinion on this. All these rumors that the Raiders are actually in on Tom Brady at all costs. Do you believe them? And why?
Well, it's Tom Brady. That's why. But, I mean, I don't. But you could see, you know, you could see, look, with Josh Jacobs and the Pro Bowl title Waller and, you know, they've got some speed at receiver. You're going to have to think that they're going to add CeeDee Lamb or Jerry Jeudy, you know, and complement that receiver core, big offensive line. You know, that's kind of what the skill position-wise, that's kind of what Brady's been missing out on in New England for the last couple of years. So, you know, you say to Tom Brady, look, dude, we've got the big speedster that we brought over in free agency from the Chargers. We've got, you know, the runner-up for rookie of the year at running back. Here comes Jerry Jeudy, the most route-refined running back in this draft. Here comes, you know, Darren Waller, the big tight end who had 1,000 yards and went to the Pro Bowl. It's like, you know, we kind of, you can see it. I mean, I think it's a bit harsh on Derek Carr. I mean, I'm not sure if Derek Carr's the greatest quarterback in the NFL.
That's my thing, because I believe, and I don't think I'm crazy by believing this, that Derek Carr is actually better than Tom Brady right now.
He is, but I wouldn't want Derek Carr on the Dolphins.
I don't think John Gruden believes that, and that's who matters most. I think that John Gruden – I've heard things before about John Gruden kind of feeling like he can't necessarily call whatever – because he's a guy that does want to change, I think, his game plan and what he does offensively throughout the game according to what the defense is showing and according to the strengths and weaknesses of the opposing team. But I've gotten the sense and I've heard that he can't – feels like he can't do that as much with Derek Carr because he's really worried about him, you know – making bad decisions or throwing in, even though he's had stretches where he hasn't thrown picks, he worries about it. He feels like he's got to be played into being that safe. And so, yeah, I could see him, if he feels like he's got weapons and they're ready to win right now and they're moving to this new stadium in Las Vegas and they really want to get this kicked off with a bang, then absolutely they could go for Tom Brady and really try and blow it up and go the distance. And I think that would be even, I don't know if it's smart, but it's certainly justifiable.
The thing that are kind of warning lights for me when it comes to the Raiders and John Gruden especially is that Gruden is always talked about as a quarterback guru. He's done all those shows at ESPN, all that sort of thing. I don't think he's ever had his own quarterback.
No. I don't believe
Well, at any point in his career.
He's supposed to be allergic to young ones.
Well, like, yeah.
That's the thing with him. He hates the young quarterbacks.
And I believe he's only had one Pro Bowl quarterback, and that was with the Raiders, and that was 5,000-year-old Rich Gannon.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I don't believe.
But he went to the Super Bowl. He went to the Super Bowl with him, so that kind of informs you a little bit of what he could be thinking.
Yeah, because I don't think Brad Johnson ever made a Pro Bowl, and I know Derek Carr hasn't made a Pro Bowl with him these last two seasons. So,
I mean, for a guy that's been allergic to the young quarterback in his entire career, and wants to morph and change just like the Patriots do. I mean, they changed their game plan around.
Well, to be fair, whatever. It just occurred to me, he was there in Brett Favre's infancy in Green
Bay. Well, yeah. I mean, that's so long ago.
I think there's going to be some fairly significant quarterback moves that look perhaps more unprecedented in terms of what we've seen in recent history. Because you could see, let's just say Tom Brady goes to Oakland. Derek Carr's not going to, you could see Derek Carr. I mean, he fits, for example, Bruce Arians offense. Does Jameis Winston stay in Tampa Bay? Or if you're Mike Tomlin, would you look at Jameis Winston as a guy you think he's still only 25? You know, Ben Roethlisberger's at the end of his career. They don't have a first round pick this year. You know, they've got a decent enough team. Do you really want to go with Mason Rudolph or Duck Hodges? How about you bring in a Jameis Winston who, you know, maybe has a year correcting his eyesight and, you know.
And I got one team. I got one team that we haven't, I don't think we've mentioned too much on the podcast, but I make it a habit of reading what other beat writers write. And the guys up in Indianapolis are pretty much out on Jacoby Brissett. At least I wouldn't say that they're completely out, but they're looking elsewhere, and they're looking elsewhere this draft.
Absolutely, they should be. They have a chance. They have a chance to.
And by the way, they
love Jordan Love.
Yeah, it's Jordan Love. Yeah, that's their guy as far as the Indianapolis Colts intelligentsia, the media.
I've definitely been hearing that. I've been hearing that myself for months. Yeah. That he's their guy. That I don't know how true it is, but. Mm-hmm. Certainly, I think that would be a good.
In other words, everybody wants a quarterback, and we're sitting here at number five.
It's the biggest. It's going to be the biggest, carousel of quarterbacks in free agency of veteran quarterbacks that we've seen in a long time, and it also happens to be a draft where you can get like five of these guys in the first round, maybe even six. I mean, I think I've heard that Jalen Hurts is more popular with the NFL than most of us believe.
I've heard that too.
And so I think that you can get five being Nick or Jacob Eason and six maybe even with Jalen Hurts being sort of looked at as another Lamar Jackson type. I'm not trying to stereotype there. It's just he is definitely an agile, really strong running quarterback who also passed the ball pretty well in Oklahoma. So yeah, you can get six in the first round of this draft. And yet you've also gotten this free agency period, this ridiculous carousel that could be happening. So
Pat Mahomes has just tweeted back to Joe Burrow, because obviously Pat Mahomes famously has, in inverted commas, small hands. And he's put, my combine small hands are doing all right so far. I believe in you.
I think Mahomes didn't. He had like long arms and smaller hands.
Yeah.
Which is a little bit sort of opposite of traditional think. The about guy could what
throw,
you want.
I'll bring you to the baseball world. The guy could throw 96 miles per hour, okay?
Yeah.
So,
I don't care what he is.
Yeah, he was a top prospect as far as a pitcher. So, small hands, who cares?
Who do you think is going to run the fastest 40 this week? And do you think that John Ross's 4:22 is a target?
Wow. That is a good question.
I know Henry Ruggs is aiming for it, and most of his Alabama teammates think he's gonna get into the 4.2s.
Yeah. Do you know who the favorite is to run the fastest time?
Is it Jeff Thomas?
It isn't.
Oh.
It is the perfectly named Utah cornerback Javelin Guidry, who was the Texas and then California State 100-meter champion. And he is the I did see earlier on. He was 100-meter sprint champion in California and Texas. He ran a 6:59.60-meter dash at the University of Washington Invitational, and he reckons he can beat John Ross's time, which would be ridiculous.
Who will be the fastest running back? I got Zach Moss. Who do you guys have?
Jonathan Taylor. Jonathan Taylor ran a 10.300 meters. Yeah, apparently Jonathan Taylor can run in the 4.3s.
Wow. Well, then he's going to get into 4.3s.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, the interesting thing about Taylor is that Taylor has got long speed. You know, he doesn't always strike me as immediately quick over the first 10 yards, but then you never see him get caught from behind. And he just extends that gap where he just runs away from people. You know, you watch him against Ohio State, you watch him in, you know, big games last year, and he was just running away from people on long touchdown runs. And, you know, 180-pound cornerbacks as well. We're not talking lumbering linebackers or big safeties. He's running away from skinny guys, you know, who are giving him 40 pounds, 30 pounds. So I think Taylor will run fast.
What about quarterbacks? Like, we know that Jalen Hurts is going to run fast, right?
Yeah, although I don't reckon he's going to run much. 4-6 maybe for Hurts.
Who do you think? Well, so who do you think? Okay, do you think he'll be first? Or if you do, and I think you will, then who do you think is going to be second? And that's a good question because, you know, Brian Lewerke's actually pretty fast. I've heard. And and so you're also looking at him and Jordan Love. I mean,
Love's got wheels. Yeah, definitely.
He's got wheels. You got Tua Tagovailoa on a wheelchair.
If he gets the motor on it. Draft and Kelly Bryant can move.
Kelly Bryant can move. Yep.
Yeah, Kelly Bryant can run. Yep.
I'm wondering who's gonna take second, if it even matters there. But receiver, who do you think that receiver is going to be the fastest?
I think Ruggs will be probably the fastest. Although there's the kid at Boise State, John. God, his name's completely gone out. It's something like Bridgman or Youngman or.
You mean Hightower?
John Hightower. Exactly.
Hightower.
Who's a really good player, by the way.
Bridgman,
Hightower, whatever. He's a good player as well.
That's definitely a British thing.
He's going to run fast. I tell you, there's a running back as well who I think is going to run really fast. Raymond Calais. He's got some serious sort of 4.2 low, 4.3 wheels. I was just Googling something.
Louisiana Lafayette.
Yeah, that's the guy.
There's a Jet Anderson.
There is Darius Anderson. I was just looking at something else at quarterbacks and potential 40 times. Can you remember what Dante Culpepper ran in the 40 in 1999?
Oh, my God. He ran like a really good time. He ran – didn't he run like a 4.60 or something like that?
4.52.
Wow.
4.52.
And that was like he was 260 pounds too.
He was huge.
He was 6'4", 255 pounds. He ran a 4.52.40. And he jumped 39-inch vertical and 122-inch broad jump.
He was that incredible.
And left his knees here in Miami.
Yeah. He decided not to bring any of that. He didn't bring a bit of that athleticism to Miami.
It's shocking when you actually look up his numbers and you see that number of 46 touchdowns right next to his name the year before he comes over here.
Who do you think is going to light it up? We talk about because offensive tackle is going to be we're going to be all up on that, right?
Yes,
Miami offensive line, period. But offensive tackles, they need a left tackle, they need right tackle, well, they need a tackle, they need somebody. So, who do you think? Do you think Mekhi Becton is going to show up and be the Orlando Brown Jr. not very good combine, or is he going to have a good combine? I'm thinking for his size, he's going to have a good combine.
Do you think?
I do.
I think his 40 time will be horrible, but I think he's
going to be like... The guy, I made notes on this guy when he came out, and he absolutely killed it at the combine by the way he looked. I'm actually looking up right now, so talk amongst yourselves.
All right. So, well, what about Sadiq Charles? That's an athlete, right? He is going to kill
absolutely.
It, right?
Okay. Absolutely. I'll tell you who else is going to run well at receiver just before. Is Devin Duvernay. Texas. Yeah. Okay. He's a flying machine. Yeah. Ashton Davis is. I mean, don't forget he was the 110 meter high hurdle champion.
Yeah, I was going to bring him up earlier because he's very much in line. I mean, especially we have his defensive backs coach, right? So he's very much in line to end up a Dolphin if Miami doesn't do anything about that free safety position in free agency. Then you can kind of start looking at Ashton Davis a lot in the draft.
Yeah,
I got him. Remember Taylor Moton?
Yes. Taylor Moton, yeah.
Remember what everybody thought of him coming out? Everybody thought he was about a fourth or fifth round pick, and then he moved at the combine.
Don't talk to me. I didn't think that.
Well, that's a guy that drastically improved his stock at moving at 6'5", 330 pounds. I think Becton could do something similar.
Salvin Ahmed, the Washington running back, apparently has been running in the low 4.2s, high 4.3s. Doesn't necessarily equate on tape. He's all right. I don't think he's a starter, but you might, you know, with speed like that, you could use him as a change of pace. I mean, he's about 5'11", 200 pounds or whatever. I think he weighed in today. So,
you know who I think is going to speak and continuing on with the offensive line, who I think is going to light it up. And that's the guy that I keep gushing about, Matt Hennessy. I really think he's going to have a great. He's got that. I mean, he moves really well.
Absolutely.
He looks like a tackle.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you know he looks just like Joe Tooney. Had the exact same measurements, build.
Speaking of Joe Tooney, are you out on Greg Robinson, Chris?
Well, you know, he didn't snitch. So that is the quality that I like to see in somebody that's protecting my quarterback.
Is intelligence important to you? Because this man put 157 pounds of marijuana into duffel bags in his trunk.
Yeah.
In plain view.
Yeah, he got flagged one too many times on this one.
The only team he's going to be playing for is in San Quentin. I mean, let's not be.
Fine. If he's in prison for 15 to 20, fine. I'll just sign Joe Tooney. You twist my arm.
I'm fascinated by these edge guys. You know, the guys that are going to run four fives, four low four fours. Mm-hmm. But a couple of linemen I've been flagged to apparently are going to perform well. AJ Epenesa apparently can jump 40 inches, which would be astonishing. And Neville Gallimore apparently is going to absolutely rip the 40, I've been told, by a friend of an agent.
Really?
Who's repping him. Says Gallimore's absolutely going to just, you know, blow the doors off. We shall see.
And Chase Young will not work out.
Chase Young not working out, yeah. Which is a shame. Yeah. And those, I tell you, those two linebackers as well, Murray and Patrick Queen, you know, light, mobile, they're probably going to run really good, sort of low 4.5s, I'd imagine.
But we have some added intrigue this year, and I don't know if this is well advertised or not, but they have new measured
change the drills,
agility drills. Like they have the figure eight now. And if you watch the figure eight, it's like, you know, they have two large hoops and you have to run a figure eight around them and get real low, get real bendy and pick up a thing off the ground while you're running it. Are on both hoops, so it you watch it and you're like, wow, this is really impressive. That I can see how this measures things you want to see in edge players. And you wonder, like, I know that say Jabari Zuniga of Florida could do pretty well in that. Our guy Alex Highsmith of Charlotte, I want to see how he performs. I think that there is a chance he could perform really well because we know him as a guy that has a really good get off and athletic look to him. So it'll be interesting. I've got kind of a line, I think, on what he should be doing. So I might pursue that a little bit and see how he's expected.
His 10-yard split will be interesting. Yeah,
definitely. Well, what about linebackers? Because we were just talking about Josh Uchie. He's not going to perform. Is that right?
Yeah, he's got an injury apparently.
Yeah, well that's too bad because he would have blown it.
I mean, the three guy. I mean, Isaiah Simmons is apparently running low 4.4s, high 4.3s. And apparently he's going to jump out of the building. Jesus. You know, he just looks like it. I mean, you remember that he had that sprint with Travis Etienne. Do you remember?
Yes, I do.
And Etienne's a legit 4.3 guy. So,
yeah, he is.
You know, and they were literally nose for nose at the finishing line.
Insane.
Kenneth Murray and Patrick Queen are obviously going to run really fast times. I'm really intrigued to see Marcus Bailey, the kid out of Purdue, who I have been watching a lot of the last sort of 4 or 5 days, who I just think is a phenomenal talent, and two ACL injuries, but 40 consecutive starts since then.
You know, if he's been training really well, then I would look out for Willie Gay Jr. of Mississippi State. If he's been training really, because that's whatever the question about him is about is
Akeem Davis. Akeem Davis Gaither of Appalachian State is another kid to watch.
But he's like a smallish, right? He's almost like
I've been looking over the names of the guys invited to the combine. There's three KJs this year: KJ Osborne, KJ Hamler, and KJ Hill. That has to be the first.
Yeah, possibly.
Can we think Curtis of any
Weaver,
more KJs?
Curtis Weaver is probably not going to run fast.
There's also a guy from Stanford called Colby Parkinson.
There is tight end. Disappointing year. Mm-hmm. But
Evan Weaver, what do you think? We like Evan Weaver. What do you
think?
We do. Is he gonna have as bad a combine as everybody, you know, kind of fears?
4.82.
Yeah. Might be looking at that.
It's not gonna stop him from being a player at the next level. Yeah. I mean, he's not gonna be a star, but he'll contribute. He'll make a team. He'll be a special team star.
Maybe AJ Klein.
Yeah, he's a player.
Who's interesting. He was never thought of as being fast when he was here, but he goes to Georgia and he's Johnny on the spot. Lawrence Cager runs any good this week or no?
The guess is no, but, you know, We'll see. He was a dependable.
Yes.
Well, one of the only dependable guys that Jake Fromm could really find until that fab freshman. I forget whose name I'm forgetting. He showed up finally by the end of the year. But I think it'll be interesting. Queen could be really fast. He's a good player. It reminds me of some of the. I mean, they got the speed linebacker every now and then. LSU, you know, going back to Deion Jones, and they always got a fast guy there, and he kind of reminds me of all them. What about the Alabama guys? What about like Anfernee Jennings, Terrell Lewis as the edge kind of guys? Are they gonna just light it up, or is maybe not?
I think Lewis has got a lot of skills.
A guy that disappoints in the 40, right? Because
who's that?
Guys run fast, kind of like the Miami guys.
Oh, the Alabama guys.
Yeah, like I don't think. What was the last time somebody disappointed in the 40 for Alabama? Hmm. It's like I said, they're like the Miami guys. Miami guys always show up at the combine and run well, all of them. It's just something and they
then
do.
Then you got the DBs, and you know, again. Apparently, Jeff Okuda running low 4.3s, high 4.2s.
Oh,
I mean, that's just going to, you know, if he runs a 4.33, that's going to blow the doors off, isn't it? I mean,
he's insane.
But there's some good, talented players, and you know, it will be fascinating to see some of those numbers.
I think you mentioned it, Ashton.
This Anthony Gordon Davis. Hype. Do you believe it?
Yeah.
Who's that?
Anthony Gordon.
I think he'll end up going on day two.
Really?
Yeah.
Because the hype is getting a bit, it's getting loud out there. Chris Sims was ready to put him in the top five.
Yeah, I don't know if I see him getting into day two.
Do you not?
No, not quite.
Okay.
The kid whose name I can't pronounce particularly well, but the Auburn corner, Noah Igbinna.
Him. Yeah, I know the one you're talking about.
I think he's going to potentially end up in the first round if he runs fast. Mm. I see that Daniel Jeremiah had him in his top 24 of his top 50. I think he was 24th. Be interesting to see.
A lot of talk about Jalen Johnson of Utah as well.
Yeah, although he's got to have it was announced tonight he's got to have torn a rotator cuff. No, he says he is going to participate.
He's going to have surgery
straight afterwards and be ready for the start of the season.
Wow.
What about Derek Brown?
Kudos to him.
Tough dude.
Is he going to participate or no?
I mean,
he won't do well.
Yeah.
He's not that
tight. He's got nothing to gain by doing it, I don't think.
I think, you know, even I kind of wonder, well, this is a good area to debate. I mean, what do you think Javon Kinlaw would do in these measures? I mean, part of me just wants to say just murder it, right? He seems like a specimen.
Yeah, his build, he's going to throw it up 225. He'll throw it up 30 times, I think.
Apparently Tristan Wirfs bench presses 442 pounds.
Wow.
So I suspect he's going to do quite well on the bench.
And everything, because he's really, really athletic.
Yeah, isn't he?
I think he's the best tackle in the draft. What do you? I mean, I don't know about you.
Igbinoheni,
yeah.
Wow.
I've got Jedrick Wills. I look at that Jedrick Wills tape against Auburn, and it was utterly flawless.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen people that maybe it was Jeremiah again said that he's spoken to a couple of GMs who thought the worst could be an All-Pro guard, and said that a couple of teams are looking at moving him to guard as well. I really like those three. Well, actually, I do like Thomas as well. I know he's taken a bit of a rough, taken a bit of a beating in the last, you know, 6 weeks. But you know, I think Thomas, Becton, Wirfs, Wills—you kind of throw a blanket over all of them. There's some proper talent there.
Well, there's five because there's Josh Jones as well. That's the point with the number 18 pick that we keep talking about is one of those five has to fall to number 18. You would think, and if they don't, and four quarterbacks are gone. Two before that number 18 pick, and you know, of course, Jeffrey Okuda and Chase Young, toss Isaiah Simmons in there too, because he's in a way he's available. Then somebody pretty good will have fallen to the number 18 pick. You have to figure, but I just overall think one of those tackles has to have fallen.
Yeah, I think Thomas might fall. I do.
Thomas could.
I think you might. I think you might.
And I think Miami are known as SEC guys, so they might snap him up.
Definitely. Yeah. He'd be, you know, he fits the mold. He fits the mold.
Absolutely. I'm going over this list for Thursday.
Austin Jackson's the other guy.
No, yeah, that's right.
That people are bigging up and
not for my money, but
no,
you know,
no.
People are talking him up a little bit. You know, I think I'd rather have Sadiq Charles.
Yeah, me too. Although the 58 suspensions he's had would make me slightly nervous.
Well, you know, just change the marijuana laws and then we're fine.
He's a really good player.
Can Sadiq Charles run fast from the wide receivers on Thursday? Tyler Johnson, I think.
Oh, I like Tyler Johnson.
He has a shot.
You think he's going to run real fast?
I'd be surprised if he ran fast. I think next year Rashad Bateman's going to run the doors off the combine, but I'm not sure. Well, I think Johnson strikes me as a sort of 452 guy, 454.
I think Chenault is going to blow the doors off. I do.
Yeah, me too.
I think that he's. I mean, he's 6'0" and a half and 227 pounds. But watch as he blazes into the 4.3s.
Yeah.
Because
what does CeeDee Lamb measure?
Only half an inch, and 5 pounds bigger than Jerry Jeudy, which is crazy, isn't it?
Yeah,
because he looks significantly bigger.
Yeah. He looks bigger.
You look at that guy, you're like, oh, that's a big jump ball type of dude. And Jerry Jeudy's like, oh, wow, I'm half an inch, 5 pounds lighter than him. What are you talking about?
Justin Jefferson had nice measurements. I think he was 6'2".
Oh, he's so good too.
Oh, isn't he? What a route. I mean, I think behind Jerry Jeudy, I think he's the best route runner.
Yes.
In the draft. I mean, I think
it's. And I wouldn't be surprised if he's the better. You know, if he's the best wide receiver in this draft.
Out of this class. 100%. He's absolutely in my top five.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And I think at the detriment of T. Higgins, I think probably falls out. But I'd be hard pressed not to have Jefferson at 3/4.
Well, and that's the thing. Again, we're talking about the number 18 pick and whether all five tackles could go. It's like this wide receiver class is so talked up for good reason, right? For good reason. And there's going to be so many of them gone by the end of round two. And you have to think a couple of them are going up before number 18. To where they drop a tackle down to us, and that's why I think you can sit tight and get a guy there as long as you planned well enough in free agency to where you're a little agnostic whether you get a right or a left. And I think if you're getting Tua, then you have to be a little agnostic about right or left anyway, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Well, that's it. There is no more. The next time we talk to you, it will be in the books. The combine will be in the books. We will have results. We will talk about them. We'll probably form our opinion on a few of these guys after we get those results. But till then.
Thanks for listening to 3 Yards Per Carry. You can subscribe via iTunes, on Podbean, or your usual podcast provider.